Welcome to the Warsaw Community Church Podcast, where you have a chance to listen to our most recent Sunday morning message. Please take a minute and subscribe to this podcast, and if you're interested, learn more about us by checking out our website at www.warsaw.cc. We hope this message inspires you, helps build your faith, and gives you a new perspective on your journey. And now, here's today's message.
Good morning. How are you? Ready for today? Hasn't this been great so far? It's just going to get better and better as we get to celebrate baptism. Love it. Absolutely love it. So for those of you who are joining us online, we're glad you're here as well. And I do have a thank you I needed to give first. A couple weeks ago, I made a comment about the Packers and the Bears. And you know what happened, right? Packers lost, and the Bears won. And then you guys were so gracious. So many of you were so gracious. You sent me text, encouragement notes. I just so appreciate that. And now you're thinking I'm probably going to talk about last week's game. I'm not. I think it'd probably be rude, and I don't want to offend anybody. You know, if I was to talk about it, I just couldn't do it well because the Packers beat the Bears 27-10, so I just don't think I should talk about it. But okay, we actually have some stuff we should be doing other than just having some fun. But one more thing that was really fun. Last weekend, Karen and I went out to Wyoming. Have you heard about this? We've been promoting it for a while. It's a missions retreat out in Pennsylvania, and I am just telling you, we had a great time. So informative, educational, and really, really challenging. And it was just a lot of fun to be with a group, about 25 of us that went from here, and just got to spend a little more time than we normally get with each other. And it's just fantastic. So in the future, if you have the opportunity, go. You know, I know that trip out there, it's like 8 hours or something. Depends on who's driving. Could be a little shorter or longer. But before I went, it's called Wyoming. And I just kept saying, why me? Like, why me? Why am I got there? It was amazing. Great food, great place. And if you get the chance, take it. So this morning, we are going to finish chapter 1 of Galatians. And Galatians is a book written by God through Paul to this church and these churches in this area of Galatia. And the main point, particularly of the first three chapters, focus on what the gospel is. That's where we're going to start today. We're going to talk about what the gospel is. We'll talk a little bit about what it isn't, but then we're going to look at the power of the gospel, the power of the gospel and what it's able to do. We're going to look then specifically at Paul's life, his life before the gospel and his life after the gospel, and we have a couple other examples I want to tell you about of the power of the gospel, not just in Paul's life, but on our lives. So last week we were talking about how the gospel is not reasonable, and meaning that it's unlike any other religion. It's not like anything else. We're going to find out why. So the gospel is, starting with God's character. It starts there. What religion does is starts with us. Our thoughts, our ideas, our beliefs, the way we were taught, the way we were raised. Religion starts with us. The gospel starts with God. It starts with his character. He's holy. He's perfect. He's just. He's all-knowing. He's all-seeing. We could go on and on about who God is, but that's where we start with the gospel. God is holy, and we are not. Humanity is broken. We are broken people. We're fallen, and we've sinned. And the wages of sin is death. So Scripture tells us the payment for sin is death. We couldn't save ourselves. There's nothing we could do to get out of that situation. The sin has to be paid for. But God in his love sent his one and only son to become a man, to live a perfect, sinless life. And then he went to the cross. And the reason he went to the cross was for you and for me. He went there to take our place. And he died there, taking our place. We got what he deserved, which is what? Eternity with the Father. And what did he get? What we deserved, death. The gospel is that Jesus Christ went to the cross. He substituted his life for ours. As he was dying there, he shed his blood. His blood ran out for the forgiveness of our sins. He died, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. Anyone who places their faith in what Christ did for them on the cross and relies on that exclusively to be the sufficient payment for their sins, they are saved. That is the gospel. That is the gospel. Man says that doesn't really make sense because there's things about God's love and grace that we don't have. We don't understand that kind of love. We don't understand that kind of grace. Our version usually goes, the false gospel goes, be good, try harder, be more sorry, make promises you'll never do that again. You won't say that, you won't do that. You're going to start doing these things. That's religion everywhere. That's just religion. It's not the gospel. And Galatia, these churches had turned from the true gospel and they were adding things to it. And if you add anything to the gospel, it's no longer the gospel. Anything. Anything outside of faith in Christ and Christ alone. Add something to it, it's something entirely different. Denny told us it's actually the opposite of it. The complete opposite. So, let's go ahead and look at verse 11 and 12 as we get into the text of chapter 1. Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the gospel message I preach is not based on mere human reasoning. I received my message from no human source, and no one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. The gospel is from God. He's the originator of the gospel. And Paul received it directly from Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of times in scripture, particularly in the gospels, if Jesus says something and they write it down, often they'll print it in red. Well, part of Galatians should be printed in red because Jesus specifically told Paul, taught him what the gospel was, the true gospel. And Paul, we say he's the author. Actually, he's more like the scribe. He's more like the court recorder who's just taking down what is being said. That was Paul writing down these things. He'd seen this revelation. He's spoken to and taught directly by Jesus Christ. And that's why the gospel is so different from the way that we think. The purity of it, the simplicity of it, the grace of it. But you're saying I don't have to do anything? Yeah, that's what he's saying. No, you don't have to do anything. In fact, if you try to add something to it, it's no longer the gospel. So that is the theme of not just this passage, but the next two chapters as well. But the gospel is from God, and it has power. It's powerful. Romans 1:16. Then he said we would read this week. It says this, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the first Jew first and also the Gentile." Are you ashamed of the gospel? Can I ask you, when was the last time you shared the gospel with someone? I think some of the times when I am fearful or unsure about whether I should share, and I forget that the gospel is the power of God to save. it really has very little to do with you and me, right? That's his deal. He's the one that saves. And when I think of it that way, I have a confidence from him, not in my abilities, but to know if someone hears the gospel, it's the power of God that saves. That's how I came to faith. That's how you came to faith. God revealed himself to you as your Savior, and you accepted that free gift. He's the one that does that. So we can trust, not in our abilities, but simply being willing to share with others. It is the power of the gospel. Now, let's look at Paul. What was he like before he met Jesus? Before Jesus was his Savior. I'm going to read you verses 13 and 14. It says this: "You know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion, how I violently persecuted God's church. I did my best to destroy it. I was far ahead of my fellow Jews in my zeal for the traditions of my ancestors." 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul speaking here. "This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the worst of them all." What was Paul like before the gospel? He was a Christian killer. If you were to ask Paul, "Hey, what are you passionate about? Destroying every church, finding believers, I don't care where they're at, where they're hiding, I'm going to find them, and I'm have them imprisoned, and some will die certainly." We first are introduced to Paul when he's there, when Stephen is martyred. You know who Stephen was? He was the nicest guy around. He was a deacon in the first church, and he was making sure poor people were being taken care of. And Paul hated him so much, rounds up a bunch of people, and they go, and he's there standing. He's too important to throw the stones. He holds the cloaks of those, and Stephen dies. That's Paul before. He was a murderer. I think that's why he says, I'm the worst of them. I wonder how he dealt with guilt, maybe shame. We'll see how it ends as we go farther. I want to make just one really quick point, and it's on a slide. It's pretty long, but it's this. The only people outside the power of the gospel are those who never hear. The only people outside the power of the gospel are those who never hear. For the power of the gospel to work, a person has to hear it. That's one of the reasons that Karen and I went to Papua New Guinea 20-some years ago. That's why we went, to share the gospel with people. I want to tell you a story about a guy there. He's the guy up here on the right on this picture. Karen corrected me a few things I said wrong. I got ages wrong and dates wrong. So I'm not going to say any dates or age because she'll have to correct me again. But when we first moved in there, Angam was about 10, 11 years old, much older than me. And I had a lot of friends, and he was one of them. He was actually a neighbor. He just lived 70, 80 feet away. And nice guy, great sense of humor. He really was funny. And when we would do culture study, so we're trying to find out what they really think, what they really believe. You have to ask some probing questions. You're still struggling with the language. So what he did, he said, "Hey, listen, I'll come every Friday and I will teach you the right way to speak. I'll teach you the right way. I'll teach you about our culture." And he actually was really good, not so much with the language, but with the culture. Because they would often get embarrassed. They do some ridiculous things in their culture, and they're embarrassed by it. They still do it, but they're embarrassed that they do. Not on him. He would tell me everything, and he'd add details. I mean, he was just a fun guy to be around. And we were there several years, and we had learned their language, and we had learned their culture. And on him's right there. And we had a good relationship. And so we started teaching, and we started in the beginning. We start with Genesis, with God's character, in the beginning God, and he's there for that. And we progress through that, and we see how the fall, how humanity was ruined because of sin, and then Cain and Abel, and then Abraham and Isaac, and we're going through, and he's there, and his wife, Apollo, is there. And I remember Matt and Angie, our partners, as we talked about it and prayed for the people, it was so exciting. So many people, most of the village was there, and they were tracking. They were following the story that starts in the beginning and goes right through. It's the story of God redeeming this fallen humanity because he loves us. I remember we had sheets, and they are very dramatic people, meaning they like drama in both ways, right? They're drama all the time. They don't have TV, so they got to make up their own drama. It's kind of like watching the Kardashians in the jungle, so it's just a mess. It's just absolute chaos all the time. But they do like to do dramas, act things out. And so we had bed sheets. So they turned these into costumes. And Ahim was one of the 12 spies that went into the promised land. After God rescues Israel out of Egypt, they're going to go into the promised land and they send in these spies. 12 of them go in, 12 come back. And 10 of them said, there's giants in the land. We can't go in there. They would step on us like we're grasshoppers. He played Caleb. And his line was, yes, there are giants in the land, but God promised it to us. That was his line. Believe God. That was one of the whole themes over and over. Believe God. Faith pleases God. God does what he says. He always does what he says. The teaching went farther. We got into the New Testament. About that time, Ahim wasn't around as often. He stopped coming to the teaching. He'd be there once in a while, but he just kind of faded away. His wife is still there. A bunch of other people are still there. But then we finally were able to preach the gospel when we got to the cross. And over 80 people came to faith. Apollo, his wife, was one of them, but not Ahim. Not on them. I want to switch gears just for a second because I want someone else to tell you a little bit about what happened. It's a guy named Tulai. This was filmed in 2016, I think, when we were over there for the New Testament dedication. We finished the New Testament. We were taking it back. Matt and Angie there. There's actually a work team from here. They filmed all this stuff, and it was just a great time. Huge celebration. But one of the things that you'll see is he's going to be talking about baptism and persecution. So go ahead and roll the video, please. After those people got saved, a few of them, a couple months later, followed the Lord's instruction to get baptized. not because it saves them, it doesn't, but because they wanted to have the testimony. Do you hear what he said, why he got baptized? So I could tell you, when you ask me why I got baptized, that Jesus Christ died for my sin and paid my sin debt. That's why he got baptized. But did you catch that part about a firestorm of persecution? It rose up, and it was intense. And Ongham was a part of that. He wasn't alone, but he certainly was one of the ringleaders. In fact, a few months later, his wife is still coming to the teaching. She's one. Apollo had gotten saved, and he tells her she can't go and listen anymore. She keeps going, so he beats her. That happened several times until she had had enough beatings, so she didn't come. Ong was a ringleader. By this time, he's older. He's got more influence in the village, in the area. And he used that influence to try to shut down the church. They would beat up the believers. They would go to their gardens, which is their grocery store for the next year, and just cut everything out of their gardens. Ongham was part of the group who instigated when they burned down our church. Burned it down to the ground. Ongham was a part of that. It's one thing when somebody does something you don't really know, but someone that you're close to. He did everything he could, including threaten us and Matt and Angie. He did everything he could to get us thrown out of the village. As we were translating and getting closer to being done, the churches were established. Not just 80 believers now, there's hundreds and hundreds. There's five churches, they're growing. And we were finishing the translation and we're continuing to do discipleship, but we actually started spending more time out of the village so that they would learn to function on their own. And they were, and they are, still to this day. And we would go back and forth, and we spent some time in there, back to the mission base, back in. And one of these times, we go back, and as usual, the village is there, and all the believers, and they welcome us, and we hang out. And it's just so good to see them, and they're excited. They're telling us what God's done, and who's hearing the teaching, and who's come to faith, and what about this village? Who's going to go to that village and tell them? And it's thrilling. And then as the crowd kind of disperses, under my house, which our house are up on poles, I am sitting there. He says, I have something to tell you. He kind of had that cheesy grin he sometimes has. He's got a great mustache, doesn't he? Let's put the mustache up there. I got something to tell you. How about you start with an apology, is what I was thinking. I didn't say that. He said, you won't believe what happened. I heard the gospel, and I placed my faith in Christ. I'm now your brother. Isn't that amazing? By the way, he's your brother too. That's the power of the gospel. I would hate to admit to you, but I will. I'd written him off. I'd hoped, because of our relationship and the way that I tried to love him and was never retaliated, that I would get to lead him to the Lord. I didn't. Somebody else did. In fact, his nephew was the one that led him to the Lord, years and years after he could have heard the gospel. That's how powerful God is, and that's how this chapter ends. I'm just going to read verse 24. Speaking about Paul, talks about his travel. Carissa read that at the start. Says where he went and when, where did he go and when and how long was he there. He's just proving that it was from God. The message, the gospel, was from God. I'll start with 23. It says, all they knew was that the people were saying, the one who used to persecute us is now preaching the very faith he tried to destroy. And they praise God because of me. That's the power of the gospel in Paul's life. We see the power of the gospel in Ongham's life. See the power of the gospel in two lives. Life. Let's see the power of the gospel in our lives. To know him. That should change us. We have his Holy Spirit. I want you to think of someone that maybe you've written off like I did. I wrote him off. Maybe there's somebody that you wrote off. Maybe because they were antagonistic, done things that hurt you, maybe other people. Maybe God would have you be the one that shares so they can hear. And certainly God would have you be the one who prays. Prays for him and continues to pray for him. Tulai, he's one of the elders now in the church. And as he was talking about baptism, did you hear what he said? No, you didn't. You read what he said, sorry. Did you read it? Why? He got persecuted because he got baptized. We don't have any of that. In fact, we're going to celebrate baptism. But when asked, why did you get baptized? Oh, because I figured you would ask me, and now I get to tell you that I've placed my faith in Jesus Christ, and he paid my sin debt. Because that's what baptism is. Baptism is not about salvation. It's everybody who's going to get in the water today that gets baptized. What they're telling us and everyone else, that they have placed their faith in Christ. That's why we do it. It's not connected to salvation. It's because we were dead and we were raised back to life, just like Jesus Christ. Each one of the people getting baptized has their own story of when they heard and when they placed their faith in Christ. We won't get to hear all of them, but you can know what they are saying. They'll be asked three questions. They'll be asked, do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins? Then they'll be asked, do you believe that he was buried and rose again on the third day? And finally they'll be asked, have you placed your faith in him as your Savior?
If you're encouraged by today's message, please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. For more information about the church or help take next steps, please visit us at warsaw.cc or follow us on any social media channels. Thank you for joining us for this message and for listening to the Warsaw Community Church Podcast.